You may be seated this morning. Our scripture this day comes from Acts, the second chapter, beginning with verse 42 through verse 45. And I tell you something, the title of it says, Life Among Believers. My goodness, sometimes life amongst the believers is not always the best place to be. But then again, it's one of the most amazing places to be. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God this day for us, His children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O great and mighty God, we do thank You this day for the reading of Your word. We thank You, Lord, for so much this day, for just blessing us, for loving us, for caring about us, for allowing us, Lord, this day to be in this place, serving You, listening, renewing our hearts and our souls, our spirits, Lord, to be able to serve You with gladness each and every day. We come to this place, Lord, to be revived, to be renewed. And we ask, Lord, this day that You just allow us this time to do that. That You just allow, Lord, this day the words and the meditations of my heart and my soul and the words of my mouth to be pleasing this day, Lord, in Your sight. Always, Lord, You are my rock and my Redeemer, and I do pray. Amen. Experience the living Christ. Oh my goodness. No one can make the case that the Christian faith is theoretical. Oh no. It is not a system of thought, a bank of words, or a collection of ideas. Ultimately, Christian faith is about living in relationship and community. Christian faith is about living in relationship and community. The Easter legacy is the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, try as we might to clean up Christianity, this faith of ours always brings us back to the same place. The church, the people, those people who come together to form themselves, they're the church. Oh, what Jesus leaves on this earth to continue His work is the church. It's you and it's me. We're here to do that work. Oh, I know people who like the idea of religion, but they don't want the church. They said, oh, I can't take them people in church now. They're just too much. Some folks enjoy the warm, pleasant feelings that come from spiritual thinking. Those are the people who have too much time on their hands. They like to sit around and be fluffy. I don't know. They like to think good thoughts and be spiritual, but they don't want to do anything about it. They like to think about good things, but they don't want the church. Some people certainly want heaven for eternity, but they don't want the church for today. You know, we want things our way, don't we? We live in a world that we can have it our way. You see, that's the problem, because like it or not, if we are going to follow Jesus, we are going to be involved somehow, some way in the church, because we can't live in this world without other people. That is a relationship. You see, the church is often called the bride of Christ. Someone has once said that I love Jesus, but I just wish He wouldn't bring His leprous bride along with Him everywhere He goes, because they get on my nerves. Those people in the church, they're like that, you know. That leprous bride that He has spoken of is, guess what? It's you and me. It's those people. We're the church. We're the people. But church and Jesus go together like love and marriage and a horse and carriage and all those things that people like to rhyme together. Jesus and the church go together, people. So just pause and reflect for a moment. Easter has come. The tomb has been emptied. The Lord has appeared to His disciples, and the announcement has gone forth. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Where do we experience His aliveness in personal ways? Oh, the answer, my dear friends, is through fellowship of the redeemed. Through the fellowship of those people that are redeemed in the quarters of the church. in the embrace of the manifestation of the body of Christ. We have to come together as a body of believers. What I am saying elevates the church to a status that some of us may not appreciate. Some of you may not. But in today's passage, we get a glimpse of the church in its earliest moments. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. The people are united. Everyone is attentive to the teaching of the apostles that day. No one's missing a service. No one's got an excuse not to come to Bible study. There are enough volunteers for every task. We don't have to have meetings and beg people to come. Folks are giving generously to support the church. We don't have to say, folks, we're running behind. We need your help. We've been out a long time and you haven't caught up. What in the world? All these things are happening. Things are working. Everything's going good. And people are lining up to join. This is going to be an amazing church, an amazing place, because good things are happening. You see, if you know your Bible, though, and the story of the church, you know that this way of life does not last too very long. Soon the church will be dealing with all sorts of unpleasant matters. For example, today's text is from the second chapter of Acts, but by the fifth chapter, just three chapters away, guess what? Folks are just dropping dead in the church. I mean, literally, that's what's happened. For lying about their pledge. Lying about what they have, what they got, and what they're given. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? People lying about what they have and what they were going to give. Oh, we've got Ananias and his wife Sapphira in that fifth chapter, and guess what? They sold stuff, and guess what? They kept part of it for themselves, and what did God, what happened to them? Boom. Dead. Lying in the church. Hello, people, we need to wake up. Is this the church? Oh, yes, it is. This is the church. This is the holy Catholic Church. The church universal. The church that you and I affirm and believe in. That one church. Oh, my goodness. This church is the aftermath of Easter. Do you want to experience the living Christ? Go to the church. Oh, I know that there will be frustration. Oh, my goodness. The church of today, just like it did years ago, likes to major on the minors. Oh, my goodness. Have any of you ever majored on minor things? It happens all the time. Happened this past week. Quarreling over the most foolish things you've ever heard of in your life. It seems at times that folks enjoy poor health. And they love to complain. I know all this. I deal with it all the time, and so do you. You are the church. We listen to each other. But in the midst of good, you will find bad, because you and I are human beings. Some of us find fault with the most innocent of comments that were not meant to hurt, but sometimes do. Sometimes we hear part of something, only just a little bit, and we get ourselves all bent out of shape. Many take hearsay as the truth and spread it like wildfire because you don't know. But you say, guess what I heard so-and-so said about so-and-so, and before long, I'm getting all kinds of things. Preacher, let me tell you what so-and-so said. You just won't believe it. Some enjoy stirring the pot, while others like to keep a blind eye. Oh, staying on the fringes, trying not to get involved, yet adding to the mixture his or her truth, whatever that might be. But I also know that if you want to find Jesus, it will be in His church. And guess what? That's those people that are talking about you. That's those people that are rumbling and grumbling and moaning and groaning. That's those people that hear part of the truth and tell it as truth. Those are those people that don't pay attention and don't know what's going on, don't even know what's happening. It's those same people, because they all make up the body of Christ. They all are part of it. But I also know you've got to find people everywhere you go, and they are the church. It will be in His church amongst all those flawed people where the face of Christ will come through the most. You'll see the face of Christ shining through all those flawed people. Each and every day when you look at it, I see those flawed people. Those people that get upset over little bitty things and make a mountain out of a molehill are some of the same people that you can see the light of Christ shining through. Because that's who we are. That's who we are as a family, a body of believers. That's who we are each and every day. That's the way it is in your own family. Some people seems like are always doing and talking and being, and some of them's being very quiet and don't want you to even call them and let them know what's going on. And then they get all bent out of shape if you didn't let them know something. But they never call and find out, so you've got to be the one that does all the calling. So there's all kinds of things, and it's the same way in a church because we kind of do the same things, don't we? We kind of, whatever role we have in our own family is kind of the role we have in the church sometimes. It's how we do it. And then sometimes maybe we are the ones that can't say anything in our family, but yet when we get in church, boy, can we just let it out. Maybe we get a new voice, a new light. So whatever it is, we need to remember that that's who we are, that God didn't make any perfect vessels. He made imperfect, flawed ones, and He finds within them the ability to do great things. And I know that the face of Christ comes shining through in all these flawed people, and we can all look in the mirror each and every day and know that that's the flawed person standing there that God uses. I think about a friend that I met in seminary many years ago. Both of his parents were alcoholics, and both died by their own hands through suicide at different times in his life. He told of how his sister and brother and he had lived from day to day in a volatile world of economic uncertainty. They never knew where their next meal was coming from. They never knew if they were going to have a place to live. They never knew. It was such an uncertain world. But guess what? In all that uncertainty, he said, the church came. And I was at a Baptist seminary at that time, and he was telling me this story, and guess what? He said, the local Methodist church showed up at my house so many times with food and clothes and most of all, kindness. They welcomed him and his siblings into their fellowship. He became a part of the choir. For the first time in his life, he was told that he was important. He felt that people cared about him, and it was a place that he was at that he didn't have to be afraid. A place where he could come and find comfort. A place where he came and found a family. Because the family that gave him life was a family that also tried to kill him. He said, I had nothing to offer these people in return. But they did not care about that. They loved me for who I was. Just a little kid. They offered me a new economic, he said. The economics of God's grace. Something I didn't even know about. Something I didn't know existed until they showed it to me. By the way they loved me and by the way they cared for me and my sister and brother. By the way they took us in. He said all that he knew in his life, but he said I was just a lost little boy. And that these good people put out and put on the hands and feet of Christ and welcomed his family into the fold. He said they put the arms of Jesus around his life and sent him in a new direction of hope and meaning and purpose. He told me, I found Jesus, or should I say Jesus found me, and my life was forever changed, he said. It's never been the same since. Because a church took it upon themselves to help in a situation that sometimes can be volatile, that can be so uncertain. Because if we don't step in where there is injustice, who is? We read too much on the paper, we read too much all around us, we see too much in the news where no one stepped in and no one cared. No one didn't know until it was too late. You see, the Christian faith is never theory. It is not about religious thinking. Christian faith is about a relationship. It's about that relationship that you have with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the midst of the comings and goings of our lives, the risen Christ appears, community happens, and church takes shape. People begin to do things. People begin to help. People begin to go out and feed those in the neighborhood. People begin to give clothes to those who are running around with not a whole lot on. You need to think about it. I think about that from time to time. I read a story many, many years ago. It's talking about the rag man. And in that story about the rag man, there was another story where this man was going along and he had one shoe. And I think I've told this story before. You're going to hear it again. But along the way, someone said, "You lost a shoe." And he said, "No, I found one. I was walking around without one. And I found one. And along the way, you know, I might find another one. Or I might find something else. Somebody might help me. Someone might give me that other shoe." You see, Easter has come. And Easter continues. Easter continues in the imperfect, grace-filled community that you and I call church. Remember this the next time you are tempted to give up on church. That you're tempted to say, "You know, I don't believe I'll go today. I believe I'll stay home. I really don't need that Bible study. I don't know what else I can learn. I have learned it all. I sure don't want to get up and come to Sunday school because I just don't know. Why have I got to get up another hour earlier? That's just the most ridiculous thing." Well, let me tell you something, people. You can learn the most in Sunday school that you'll ever learn. I learned it as a kid. I've been going to Sunday school my whole life. I went to Sunday school before I was born. I'm telling you, people, I've been in church my whole life. There's never been a time that I wasn't there. I got real smart one time when I was in seminary, because I had so much going on, I thought I knew it all. Several of us got this point when I didn't have a job in church, and all of a sudden I thought, "Why have I got to go? I'm in class every day learning about God. Got all this God stuff happening all the time. I'm in a Bible study during the week. I'm here doing this. I'm here doing that. Why in the world have I got to get up on Sunday morning, one of the only days that I've got off?" I've heard this before. Have you heard this somewhere? I hear this all the time. "Only time I've got off, why have I got to get up a little bit earlier and go to Sunday school and go to church because I don't need it?" Well, guess what? I missed two Sundays and I about died. I thought, being smart, I couldn't do it. I could not be a rebel. I'm telling you, I can't do it. I just couldn't do it. I tried it. It didn't work. Two Sundays and I was miserable. I didn't know what to do with myself. A bunch of us got together and went somewhere and ate lunch, and I felt bad all day, and I thought, you know, well, I didn't learn enough that Sunday, because the next Sunday I did the next stupid thing. I didn't go again. But the next one, let me tell you something. I've been in church. I don't miss it if I can't. Even when I'm on vacation, I go to church. I like to see what other people are doing. I like to see how they do it. I like to see other denominations. I like to see bigger churches and smaller churches. I like to see what they do. Maybe we can bring something back. Maybe we can change something. Maybe we can add something. Make it look better, sound better. But the thing about it is, you need that relationship. And not only that relationship with other people, but you need that relationship with God. And if you are missing that, if you're not having your prayer time, if you're not having your Bible time, if you're not having your devotion, if you're not in church somewhere in a Bible study class or Sunday school learning something, you're missing out. You're missing it. Because people will say, "Well, Sunday school is for children." Give me a break. Get over it. You didn't learn all you needed to know from the time you were born till you were about fifth grade. Forget it. If you did, there'd be a lot of, there's a lot of dumb people in the world as there is, but there'd be a whole lot more dumb. I'm sorry. That's just one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. "I don't need to know no more than I already know." Or, "I can't learn." I've heard that. "I can't learn nothing." With that attitude, no, you can't. But if you go, you need to be a part of something. You need to be in here. And we got Sunday school classes here. Don't think we don't. We got Sunday school classes for every age, from the babies to the oldest one here. And if you can't find a spot, let's ask somebody where something's at and we'll tell you. And you'll learn something. You'll know something. That'll be the best place you can find these things out. And you'll, especially if you start when you're young, you'll want to know. You'll want to know more. It'll be a love of something that you don't want to forget. Because, you know, it continues. It continues. It's nothing, like I said, Easter has come, but guess what? Easter continues. And it's not for those people that are good enough to go to church. If we waited till we were good enough to come here, we would never walk in a door of a church nowhere. If we waited till we were good enough to be with God's people, we'd stay at home by ourselves all the time because we are not good enough. We can never get good enough, but God uses those imperfect people like you and me every day of our lives. And when we start making a few sacrifices for Him, oh my goodness, look at the things you can do. You'll want to get involved. You'll want to be a part. You'll want to know, when are we going to have so-and-so? Are we going to have this? You know, you'll be excited about it. Instead of whenever the fall comes, whenever this fall, and about August, I'm going to start maybe in July and August, I'm going to say, okay, y'all, we're going to have some disciple Bible studies coming up in the fall. We're going to offer 1, 2, 3, or 4, whichever one. We might offer 2. And we're going to see what nights or what days there'll be. And I get to my, well, I can't do it. I just can't work that into my schedule. Well, what are you doing? Well, some people are busy, yes. All of you aren't. It takes a commitment. It takes time. And then I got others that are like, well, I just can't do it then. But I want it, but I just can't do it. Well, I've been here 7 years now, and some of you have been trying it the whole time, and you've not got there yet. You've not quite made it. For 7 years, it's been inconvenient for you. For 7 years, you've been in Sunday school. You see, if you want to experience Jesus, this is the place and the people for, in spite of their imperfections and their idiosyncrasies that are in this world, the church is where the living Christ lives. He lives within each and every one of us each and every day. You need to give thanks for your church and your place in it. There's a place for you. You need to find out where that's at. I know some of you can't be here every Sunday. I know some of you work on Sunday. But I tell you, when you can be a part of something. Get involved. There's no better place to find what you are looking for, which is the touch of the Master's hand in your life. You need it. You need Him in your life. I know because I have experienced it. I've been there. I've done that. As the old saying goes, and I bought a T-shirt. You know, I've been there, done that, and bought a T-shirt. I got it. I know. But thanks be to God for the church, people. Thanks be to God for the church that you and I are a part of, that we are called to be a part of, that we experience each and every day. We need to know more. We need to experience God. I have never met in my life but one person who told me that they were a Bible scholar and that they knew already more than most people did in their life and that they were just about going on to glory. Well, let me tell you something about this fellow. He was in my last church, and he grated on every nerve that God put in my body. He was one of those people that loved the Lord beyond her. But when he walked into church, you would think that the world revolved around him. He showed up when he wanted to. He was in one of my disciple Bible study classes there. And I will tell you something. I almost dreaded, I think, God, if I have got to listen to him one more time, please give me strength. Because he would say, well, let me tell you something. He said, I am a biblical scholar. I am the next thing to perfect. Well, that's just how he talked. And I just would look at him like he had about, you know, 2 or 3 different heads. I'm like, what is your problem? But he was one of those people that God has a special place for. He's one of those people that hasn't quite gotten it yet because he is so full of himself that God cannot be a part of it. I don't want you to get that smart. I want you to be humble enough to allow God to be a part of who you are. We need to all experience the living Christ each and every day of our lives. All of us can study from the time we are born to the time we die, and we never know it all. We'll never know it because each and every day God reveals the Scriptures new to us. They've been around for thousands of years. And guess what? Each and every day when you read them, they're revealed to us new and different because we're in a different place. We're at a different time. we've had different experiences, and God shows it to us in a different way. We're able to use it to help those around us. We're able to use it to be in relationship with Him. And that's what we need to be, is in right relationship with our Lord and Savior. And until we get that right, we're not going to be able to get it right. So we need to quit being too critical of all those other people out there who don't get it right. And we need to start looking at ourselves and saying, you know, if I can get myself right, maybe those other people won't look so bad. We need to experience the living Christ for our lives. And the only way to do it is to start serving Him each and every day. Let us pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day and for who You are in our lives. For the gift, Lord, that You give us. For the love You give us. For the blessings You give us. Lord, thank You always for loving us. Thank You always, Lord, for giving us that joy. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to have that right relationship that can only come by knowing You. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to have that relationship with Your children in this place, this day. Lord, I thank You for each and every one of them, and I ask, Lord, Your blessings upon us all as a church community and family. I thank You, Lord, for this place that is called Kipling. But I ask, Lord, that You continue to allow each and every one of us to go out from this place each and every day and to serve You with gladness no matter where we are, to be Your hands and feet, to be those arms that reach out and hug that child who needs a loving touch, to be the one that hands somebody a loaf of bread, to be the one that maybe offers someone a cup of coffee, whatever it might be that day, Lord, and to share a conversation. So, Lord, this day, allow us to be all that You have called us to be. Hold us close, for it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 128. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Hymn number 128. Stand as we sing and know that our altar is always open for You to come.